So I'd just like to introduce Professor Jenny Hoy, who's the Director of HIV Medicine at the Alfred. I'm sure you all know Jenny. Jenny has been working for more than a generation because she was there when I was going through my training, working in comorbidities, and has really been central to a lot of the pathogenesis work that's gone into comorbidities, including the start bone data that I showed you earlier. So thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, Paddy. And I'd also actually like to thank James for asking me to do this talk, although I didn't thank him halfway through putting it together. So I missed my disclosure slide in this presentation, so I would like to disclose that my institution receives reimbursement for my participation on advisory boards for ViiV, Gilead and Merck Sharp and Dohme, and I'm on the IAS USA guidelines panel. So, weight gain with instis. Very topical at the moment, and really over the last 1 to 2 years, it's been very topical. If we go back a lot further, you can find posts like these on social media. Bloated abdomen. I gained 2.5 stone when I started Stribuild over 4 months, went from 30 centimetre waist. No, it is inches. 30 inches to 37 inches. Eating just the same. If I stay on this medication much longer, it will kill me. I've mentioned it to my HIV specialist, who basically ignored me. What am I going to do? What year was this post? 2013. It was over 5 years ago. So, I'm going to cover these topics. Are integrase inhibitors associated with greater weight gain? Who is at greater risk of the weight gain on integrase inhibitors? Are there differences between different integrase inhibitors? Are there differences for risk of weight gain between ART-naive and individuals and those switching regimens? Are there differences with the companion NRTI drugs? And what are the long-term consequences of weight gain? What's the pathogenesis? And is it reversible? And my time hasn't started, so I'm going to go on forever. I've got no idea. All right, so Paddy, I think, showed this slide this morning. And a couple of things. These are, this is from the NA Accord. This was presented at CROI this year, where they had an entire symposium on weight gain and integrase inhibitors. So these are naive individuals who started either an NNRTI-based regimen, a PI-based regimen, or an integrase-based regimen. One thing I'd like to point out, and it's similar to what Paddy's been talking about with the bone disease, the rate of weight loss is much greater in the first 2 years after starting ART than after that. But it's still, the weight gain increases. And this probably represents return to health in naive individuals. In the NA Accord, dolutegravir was associated with greater weight gain compared to raltegravir and elvitegravir. Bictegravir does not have enough data in the observational cohorts. So they were naive individuals. What about switching? This data came from a single-site study of 500 patients. And really the message is the greatest weight gain occurred with those switching to dolutegravir, which was greater than raltegravir or elvitegravir, but the magnitude of the weight gain is much less than the magnitude of the weight gain in ART-naive individuals starting these regimens. This is a comparison of efavirenz with integrase inhibitors. You can see the switch was associated with a 3 kilogram change in weight over 18 months. This is protease inhibitors versus NNRTIs, no change. This is dolutegravir, Bacavir 3TC compared to the raltegravir or elvitegravir regimens. And again, continued efavirenz versus switch to dolutegravir, Bacavir 3TC. What about who is at greatest risk? This data came from Jordan Lake from the ACTG studies, and she looked at an adjusted annual weight change 2 years before switching to an integrase and then looked at 2 years post-switch. So this sort of speaks to some of what Paddy was talking about this morning in his plenary presentation. So if we look at race and gender, you can see that in women, both white women and women of black race had a significant weight gain switching to an INSTI-based regimen, whereas for men, it was only the black race men that had a significant weight gain in this cohort, whereas Caucasian men did not gain weight. If we look at age, you can see it is the older age individuals, those 60 years and older, that had the significant weight gain. So we're starting to think about risk. Who is at risk of the weight gain? It appears to be women, black race, and individuals over the age of 60. They also looked at different regimens, but their sample size really was limited, so I'm not going to talk about significant changes there. But then there were all these other studies that muddied the waters, the different risks. The majority of the studies are observational. The magnitude and who was at risk seemed to vary amongst some of them. For example, the HIV outpatient study showed non-Hispanic black patients who, and those that had no prior NRTI were the ones that were at greatest risk. There was a naive study that showed, again, black race was associated with greater weight gain, but in this group, more women gained more weight than men on raltegravir and dolutegravir. The entire cohort gained more weight on elvitegravir compared to... It just doesn't make sense, really. One of the cohorts looked at weight and waist circumference. Again, thinking about what Paddy said this morning about obesity, this study compared naive people living with HIV randomised to raltegravir versus a PI. And again, weight gain was more pronounced in women and black race. So not all INSTIs appear to have the same association. This is from the TROP study from that was done in Australia. This was presented in Mexico, just showing that switching from TDF to raltegravir wasn't associated with a significant weight change. The NAMSIL study, we're now getting into randomised studies. So all of the data so far has been in observational studies. The NAMSIL study was in naive individuals who were randomised to either dolutegravir or low dose of efavirenz. 300 participants in each arm, 65% women. The mean BMI was 23. This was done in Cameroon. The mean age was 37 years. And what this study showed was that there are greater than 10% change in baseline weight only occurred in women randomised to dolutegravir versus efavirenz, but not in men. So, we've got some randomised studies. What about the backbone? Does TAF promote weight increase? The first suggestion that TAF might have a role in weight gain came from a German cohort study looking at mean increases in body weight after switching from TDF to TAF. So they had 112 people remaining on the TDF arm and 129 that switched. So of those 129, only 13 switched to an INSTI, 20 switched to an INSTI. But you can see significantly greater increases in weight in those switched to a TAF-based regimen. There have been other randomised controlled trials. None of these have p-values. In the AMBER trial, those randomised to TAF, darunavir, cobicistat and emtricitabine gained 1.8 kilograms compared to 0.8 kilograms, those that the only difference was TDF. In the bictegravir studies, with bictegravir FTC-TAF, gain of 3.6 kilograms over 2 years compared to 2.4 kilograms with dolutegravir 3TC and abacavir. And lastly, the bictegravir 1490 study, which the only difference between the arms was dolutegravir and bictegravir. And you can see that the dolutegravir arm had a greater magnitude, but there's no p-value there, and I would suspect that that is not significantly different. What do we learn from TDF and TAF use in HIV-negative individuals? In the IPREC study, you can see that those randomised to TDF actually lost weight. The mean difference being minus 0.8% weight. It was not driven by nausea associated with TDF. If you look at the DISCOVER study, on the FTAF arm, there was a gain of 1 kilogram versus fairly stable weight in the TDF arm, and no difference in weight gain in those randomised to cabotegravir for PrEP. The ADVANCE study, I think, has given us a great deal of information about this weight gain. So ADVANCE was presented at IAS and it's been published in the New England Journal now. It was done in Johannesburg, South Africa, 1,000 people randomised equally to TAF-FTC dolutegravir, TDF-FTC dolutegravir or TDF-FTC efavirenz. 60% women, black race, mean CD4 cells, 350. So if we look at baseline, overweight and obese at baseline. So obese, 10 to 15% at baseline, or overweight was close to 40%. So that's a dilemma and a problem if we're looking at weight gain on top of that. So this is the change in weight in men. So this is the efavirenz arm. This is the TDF and dolutegravir arm and the TAF dolutegravir arm. So dolutegravir, randomisation to dolutegravir associated with greater weight gain compared to efavirenz, and for men there was no difference between the TDF and the TAF. What about women? Totally different story. Again, 3 kilograms weight gain at week 96 in the efavirenz arm, significantly greater at 5 kilograms in the TDF arm, but in the TAF arm, 10 kilograms weight gain. Quite significant. This is men over time, and this is looking at greater than 10% weight gain and greater than 20% weight gain. I just want you to look at, it seems to plateau or become reduced weight gain after week 48. So after 1 year, there seems to be a plateau in weight gain for men, not for women. It just continues. It's progressive. And at week 96, 60% of women on TAF dolutegravir had gained more than 10% of their weight. So weight gain can be muscle, can be fat, etc. What is it in these people? This is again from the PrEP studies showing the difference between TDF and placebo, and this is lean change in lean mass on DEXA, and as you can see, very stable. But if we look at fat, you remember in IPREX, TDF was associated with some weight loss. You can see that those that were adherent lost fat before returning to baseline. What about in advance? So they did DEXAs in a sub-study in the advanced study, and you can see the pink is lean mass in both limb and trunk, and the yellow and the brown is limb fat and trunk fat. Here we have, this is for men, week 48, and you can see it's almost equivalent, lean mass and fat gain in the TAF arm. And not much difference between week 48 and week 96. What about women? This is a different story. You do get some increase in lean mass, but it is fat that the women are gaining. So, fat, TAF, integrase inhibitors. What are the potential consequences? I think the first thing that we should say is that this is not lipodystrophy. This is different to lipodystrophy. But many people have raised concerns about this weight gain being associated with type 2 diabetes, hypertension and cardiovascular risks. We don't know yet. These studies have not gone on long enough. But we know from the VAC study that if you gain 2.25 kilograms of weight after starting antiretroviral therapy, that increased your risk of diabetes by 14%. In the DAD cohort, for every unit of increased BMI, raised your risk of diabetes by 13%. And in those with a normal BMI pre-ART, a 20% increase in the relative risk of cardiovascular disease occurred with every increase of 1 kilogram per meter squared BMI. So I think we are going to see some consequences of this weight gain. So, in summary, are integrase inhibitors associated with greater weight gain? Yes. And there seems to be a hierarchy of weight gain increase of integrase inhibitors greater than PIs, greater than the non-nukes. Are there differences between the integrase inhibitors? Maybe. There seems to be some hierarchy within the integrase inhibitor class where dolutegravir is associated with greater weight gain than raltegravir or elvitegravir. There's no cohort data for bictegravir as yet. Who is at greatest risk of weight gain? It seems to be women, black race and older age. Are there differences for the risk of weight gain between ART naive and those switching? Yes, greater magnitude in those that start out naive compared to those switching. Are there differences with the companion drugs? It appears to be so that there is an interaction between TAF and the integrase inhibitors that's not been seen with TDF. What are the long-term consequences of weight gain? Well, I think we can say diabetes and possibly cardiovascular disease, but we need longer follow-up and reanalysis of lots of studies that have been done to evaluate these consequences. Do we know what the consequences of excess adiposity in people living with HIV with regard to inflammation and immune activation? I think we have some preliminary data that I haven't had time to show, but obesity is associated with greater immune activation and inflammation in the general population and probably also in the HIV population. Do we know what the pathogenesis of this weight gain is? No. Is the weight gain reversible? That is also unknown at this point. But I think we need to know soon. That's it.
Thank you, Jenny.